We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Expect Casey to try to put a little something extra on the slider here.
Sun comes out from behind a cloud, and suddenly we have sunshine covering the infield. A 1-2 pitch to the plate.
Swing and a miss! He struck him out!
Aggies are going to the College World Series!
Howdy, guys. Welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Tuesday, June 25th. And we have a ton to get into. But before we do all of that, my name is Rob White, Fighting Texas Aggie Class of 2014.
I'm Roy May, Fighting Texas Aggie Class of 2015. And I'd like to put a little disclaimer that I'm going to do my best to watch my language, but no guarantees.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a ton to get into. Basically, since the last podcast, you know, we wrapped up right before Florida and Kentucky get through those games, make the championship series. We were going to touch on that. Obviously, wanted to get more full into the game, but there's a lot more to get into. So go ahead, Roy. What you got?
Well, we'll start with the game, or we'll start with the series. I'm not going to go game by game, obviously. Sure. Man, you got a series that at the end of it, the run differential was 15-15. I mean, there was literally zero run differential. It was a classic series. It was just really good. A couple of bad pitches on Sunday, and then I thought on Monday night last night they battled really well. Tennessee. We said it. Tennessee's a damn good team.
The best. I mean, no arguments here. I mean, Tennessee earned that thing on the field. We can sit back and complain about umpiring. We can sit back and complain about decisions made with pitching. I mean, there's a lot of question marks that people can throw around. But at the end of the day, for me, I mean, Tennessee earned this thing. And they absolutely
– Yeah, 100%. Look, the umpiring was abysmal on Monday night. It was. But still, you still had it in front of you. Yep. The umpire's not to be blamed for the series by any means.
No.
I mean, you didn't see that on Sunday, and you weren't able to pull the game out. So it's again, I'm gutted that we didn't get to see this team at full strength play in that series. I think that's just the most disappointing part. But what this team was able to show us being down, you're probably questionably your best player. Mm-hmm. Your number two starter who had really done a great job all year.
Well, the dude's the king at eating up innings. That's one thing that Shane Sadeo has always done really well. Yeah. And so it sucks that he was hurt. And that was definitely a big part that was missing. I mean, one thing we can say for Caden Kent, he did a phenomenal job filling in production wise for what Braden Montgomery was doing. Now, he did a great job in that role. But you can't replace the extra arm strength that we had with Shane Sadeo eating up innings, which very well likely would have been the guy that we threw on Sunday and likely the guy that would have gotten us where we needed to go. But here we are now on the backside of all that. And it's an unfortunate situation. I feel so bad for the players because it was such a good effort. And obviously the fans who traveled and showed out. I mean, first 12th man, all credit to you. There were so many people that said, oh, that stadium is going to be 75-80% Tennessee. It was a healthy blend of maroon and orange in that building, and I could not be happier with our showing as a fan base and honestly just effort from the team as a whole. Everybody was fighting for every pitch, and sometimes that makes you push. Sometimes that makes you do things that you don't think you should do. But at the end of the day –
to watch them step up despite the injuries, attack on Jace getting hobbled. All of it was, it was such a fun run, and definitely, they'll go down as probably the best team in history at A&M.
So far. Yeah. No question.
And they were, so far. And it was fun, man. It was a enjoy the ride kind of thing. I hate for them that it ended up the way it did. But Tennessee was in this situation the last couple of years too. So, maybe you see something, out of this roster. But again, we'll get into how it's going to be different from Tennessee here very shortly.
Yeah, very true. So it all shook out the way it was, it did shake.
Yeah, I mean, it's the way the odds had picked it too. I mean, Tennessee was just, they had good pitchers and they just absolutely mashed the ball. You got five dudes on one team that had 20 or more homers. That's bonkers.
Yeah. I mean, phenomenal team, and honestly, just above everything else. I mean, very well timed hits, just did what they needed to do when they needed to do it, and got the shutdown pitching when they needed it.
Yeah,
So.
still shocked that Vitello didn't get run in that game where he got the early warning.
Right.
I was really shocked because they were, I mean, they jumped on a warning early. You
They
know,
did.
that was quick. And for them not to go back to that, especially the way he continued to act, that was a little puzzling to me because he just continued to act the same way. And again, all the props to Tennessee in the world, but you know, still, you know, they reflect, they're a reflection of their head coach.
Yeah.
And I'll just kind of leave it at that because I think I've beaten that drum enough. And so, but you know, I'm not going to say there's always next year because right now where we're sitting, we have no idea what next year's gonna hold because Coach Sloss is a lying piece of shit, that apparently started these discussions as early as the Georgia series weekend. And he's been doing this the whole time, which also leads you to believe that there's no way that he hasn't been working on his staff as well. So you're looking at a team that could legitimately be gutted depending on what players decide to leave and what players decide that, you know, they can look at it for what it is, and it's just a lack of integrity. So we'll get into this. Got the announcement. And I think there was, you know, a week ago, I don't think anybody was worried about it. I think as we got a little bit further down the line and more smoke, more smoke, more smoke, yeah, there's concern about it because then it goes radio silent. And so, you know, it's Texas baseball history. You know, they want to get back to where they were, right? And hiring a guy like Schloss is what'll do it. But I'm fascinated by the fact that like you want to talk about just what really showed his ass was the way he answered that question. And then when you find out that once he left the podium, he got in Richard Zane's face and told him he was never going to speak to him again. That's one of the most immature and garbage displays I've seen, especially say he could have said any other, you know, there's a bevy of things that he could have said. Could have said, like, I can't believe you asked me that question. Look, you want to ask me that question, ask me tomorrow. I'm not that, you know, he could have just deflected it straight up, but he chose to even double down on his bullshit. And it's a glaring lack of integrity. Because literally all he had to do was deflect the question. That's all he had to do. He didn't have to answer it. He'd be
No.
like, I'm not even answering that right now. Like that's literally, he could have just said that. I mean, granted, you know, speculation would have run wild, but does that matter at this point now? So, as many people wanted to jump on Richard for asking that question at that time, turns out it was the right question to ask. And maybe a whole lot of people owe Richard an apology on top of that.
I went ahead and made a post about that on Twitter. I said people need to start giving Richard quite the apology because, yeah, I mean, it's a tough question to ask in that moment. It
But it
absolutely is a
clearly
tough
had to be
question,
asked.
but it needs to be asked because, and this is a clear indication why. You don't ask this question. There's no speculation the next day when, no official announcement is made, but all of a sudden you have, Chris Brown and all these other reporters starting to fire out news that all of a sudden Jim Schlossnagle's heading to Austin. And so we're seeing this take place. And I just roll back to I'm really proud of Richard for going out there and asking that question at this point. It needed to be asked, and I'm glad he did do it.
100%. And the thing, like, and I was curious because obviously, you know, there was a ton of backlash and he just got absolutely pounded on. But I was surprised that I mean, I guess it makes sense, you know, because I'm not a journalist, right? I don't go into these post-game interviews and ask the questions, right? But Billy straight up green lit him asking that question. So one, the professionalism of Richard to ask Billy before he fires off a question like that, obviously something that's going to could quite possibly be incredibly incendiary.
Sure.
But two, the fact that Billy was like, dude, let it rip, man.
You got to.
And
You have to.
yeah.
You have
And
to.
And I don't ever want to sound like a Texags apologist, because like every journalist does their job, and that's what, I mean, I love the guys at Texags, but you know, I'll call them on it on something if I think they're doing something crappy. But this wasn't one of those situations.
No.
You know, it had to be asked. I'm glad it was asked. And now looking back, it, like, this is super easy, you know, being able to play Monday, you know, Monday armchair quarterback. It absolutely had to be asked. And Schloss showed his ass and showed exactly who he is. And yes. It's frustrating and disgusting. I hope he fails miserably at SIP, but realistically with his track record, he's not going to.
No.
But now all of a sudden you have to shift gears, right? Mm-hmm. Oh crap. We got to get into a coaching search. And so I didn't want to just sit here and bang on Coach Schloss all night, because as far as I'm concerned, he's a SIP now and he can kiss the maroon part of my ass.
Yeah, I mean, if there's any one thing I will say in regards to the Jim Schlossnagel thing right now, I mean, a man is only as good as his word, and his word means absolutely nothing, as we've come to learn. Absolutely. And so that, you know, every single thing that he says at Texas, it doesn't matter what it is, whether he leaves, goes, whatever. At this stage, on that other side of the whole issue, at this point, you can't believe a word of that man out of that man's mouth, because he has no integrity left. So we
change how good he is as a baseball coach, but
here's the deal.
You can have good, it, man.
Good coach. I mean, if there is one thing that I will say, and I know there's going to be a lot of people ripping on Trev Albers about all this, yada, yada, yada. Rip on him if you so desire. But I will be honest right now. I did not want us getting into any kind of Jimbo Fisher crazy contract extension situation, you know, basically being held at gunpoint. At this stage, my thought process was, you know, if he's going to go, let him walk. I don't want somebody who doesn't want to be here.
Well, my thing with Trev Alberts is, like, if this was all going on behind this, I mean, if they were really that capable of keeping it quiet, and apparently they were, if this was all going on behind the scenes, he may not even have had a shot at keeping him anyways.
Right. I mean,
obviously we're talking about stadium renovation, so you kind of assume the guy's going to stick around and see it through. I mean, I don't think that every week on Monday morning you pick up your phone and call all of your coaches one by one and be like, hey, you're not leaving next year, are you? Like, yeah, so there was a lot of deception on Schloss's part by doing this as early as it sounds like he was doing it.
Well, and then on top of that, I'm not sure if you caught up with what was said otherwise with the players, but it's pretty apparent that the players were not aware of the situation at all, because Chris Cortez came out and made his statement. He said,
I haven't seen any of it yet. Yeah, fire away.
So Chris Cortez, this was a little less than an hour ago, said this should not take away from what this 2024 Texas A&M baseball team has done. The players make the team, not the coaches. Less than 24 hours ago, we were one of the last two teams standing, playing from our national championship. Nothing can take that away from us.
And that's what I'd really like to see is some positive stuff from guys that still have eligibility left.
Yeah, I agree.
This is going to be tough. Look, he's going to take his staff with him, and he's probably going to take some players with him.
Probably. And,
like, it could be a really, really ugly 30 days.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I mean, the announcement's been made. Whatever moves are going to happen. But now, if there's anything that does come out of this situation – he's coming out looking like an absolute ass the way he went about this. And
you hope that the players can see that.
Yeah. You hope. But at the same time, the integrity of an athletic department is not the end goal of most of these players. Most of these players, their end goal is making the major leagues. And if getting to the major leagues means playing under a coach that's going to get you the type of exposure you need, and being under a guy like Max Wiener, Nolan Kane, etc., all those guys underneath Schlossnagel, that's what they're going to want. They're going to want the chance to go for that championship again. And if they think that it's going to be better in Austin now that their coach is over there, they're going to follow him. And that's, on one hand, completely understandable. But on the other hand, it's, you know, it's just a frustrating situation for everybody you leave behind.
It is. Yeah. And so that's kind of where I wanted to point the direction of this.
Sure.
So we're not sitting here just actually beating this topic to death, and
yeah, you're good,
and my blood pressure just starts ripping up through the roof. So if you're Trev Alberts, Like, what's your move? And so my dad and I were talking about this a little bit because I told him I think Max Wiener's gone. I think he leaves with him. He's like, well, I mean, would you appoint Wiener head coach? He's got 1 year in college, man, so no. You can't do that. But can you work and try and keep this staff together? Do you promote Nolan? Do you promote Kane to head coach? Do you promote Early? Do you promote Wiener? Do you promote them all and give them all pay raises and be like, this worked?
Yeah.
So why not? Why not keep the band together, kind of thing?
Well, and I mean, if I'm Albert's, I mean, I would like to make that move. I think if you had to ask me who I want for the head coaching position out of this staff, yeah, it would definitely be Nolan Kane of any of them, no question. But yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, I'm not sure how many of those guys are sticking around.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, do you make that move in an effort to placate the players? And that's just, and you can't be held hostage by, you know, by players hitting the portal.
No.
And so now you got to spin up a search and you got to spin it up quick.
Yep.
And if you want to keep this roster intact, you better land a name.
Yep.
And so I don't know where you go, man.
No, like I said, the names, I honestly couldn't tell you right now. The names that immediately came to mind, I look at Jay Johnson over at LSU, but I don't know if you snag him at all. And frankly, if you had to go with a guy, and it's not a big name, and that's the problem. People want that big name higher. But, yeah. I mean, if you had to give me a guy that truly understands A&M and gets what we're trying to do here and has been here and knows what's going on, and frankly, you know he's not dipping out because he's shown how much he appreciates this program. It's Matt Deggs at Louisiana. Okay. So Deggs was over, you know, he was underneath Childress here, did a phenomenal job while he was here, goes to Sam, builds it up into a pretty decent program, then it ends up at Louisiana and also builds it into a really solid program. The dude builds. Yeah, and so that's a name I don't hate in the search, but I understand the need for a school with the profile of A&M, and not just the profile of A&M, but consider what we promised Schlossnagel. We're guaranteeing him an $80 million stadium. All of these other upgrades as far as facilities.
Yeah, that didn't walk out the door with Schloss.
No, that's not going away. These things are on the table, and they are going to happen. But, you know, that has to be your pitch at this point. It's like, see what you are acquiring by coming to A&M. You're getting all these facilities. You're getting the incredible fan base and the incredible support. And my thought process above all else is, if you truly didn't think you could do this here, and you're going to go to Austin, where the profile is not all that different. Yes, you do have the history.
Yeah, but you got to be talking about in the here and now. Like the last 5 years or so is really about the only window that matters, quite frankly.
It's true. And Texas has not been outstanding. They have made Omaha several times.
I still don't even know why they're getting rid of Pierce, quite frankly.
No, I can tell you exactly why. Because this conversation was happening probably round about Georgia, and it was always in the back of their mind like, hey, we're going to drop Pierce. It's just the timing of him being fired on the championship game. God, screw those guys.
Yeah. No, they're
good Lord.
They're complete assholes. And if anybody listens to this podcast that's never been in a conference with them, I'm telling you, you will understand why us older people do not like them. And that's just another example of what they do. I wanted to bring to light a tweet from Kendall Rogers.
Go ahead.
I thought this was really interesting because Bronny retweeted it as well. Kendall Rogers said, I spoke to sources throughout the last week with knowledge that Schloss would consider going to Texas. I was told if that happened, Aggie baseball would pay whatever was needed to land an elite coach. A&M, given new ballpark coming and resources, will be attractive. So buckle up.
I saw that.
So that's, you know, for all the people that are sitting here getting mad at Alberts.
He's going to go get a guy.
Maybe. And that's why I think Deggs won't be in the conversation.
Probably not.
I think what would be interesting is if Schloss takes the staff with him, you know, does he do something like, I mean, do they just pull out all the stops, hire a head coach that wants to pull Deggs over as an assistant coach, like a head coach in waiting kind of thing?
Yeah.
Because we've seen A&M, you know, that's a move that's possible. You know, head coach of Louisiana to be an assistant coach you know, assistant head coach at Texas A&M.
Yeah.
You know, that's not even a lateral move. That's still a bit of a tick up. Granted, he's got Louisiana going right now, so I don't know if he'd want to take that, what is maybe perceived as almost a lateral move. But it'll be real interesting. And the more I've kind of thought about this since the announcement came out, I think it just really truly goes to show you that now that we have the era of the NIL, you don't have to stay at programs forever to develop them, right?
Nope.
You can build it through a transfer portal on top of your high school kids. But it just goes to show you that I don't ever want to hear another coach complain about anything about NIL, because the absolute biggest effing mercenaries are the coaches.
Mm-hmm.
100%. And Schloss just showed that, in buckets, that they have absolutely no loyalty where they're at. They don't care about the school. All they care about is some whatever. I can't tell what the perception is for him, because I guess he thinks that he's going to be able to win it all quickly in Texas, at Texas, when he had us literally on the trajectory to win it anyways.
Well, and somebody made a really – well, Matt Trujillo, who's a really good friend of mine, he listens mm-hmm. to the podcast. He's a good cat. Made a really, really interesting thought, put an interesting thought in my head, which was perhaps maybe part of the issue here was that Jim Schlossnagel didn't exactly have full control all the time, you know? If you consider, like, a lot of the things around A&M baseball, if, you've been around here long enough, there are certain things that have been established around the ballpark, around the culture. And he came in here and immediately, let's just go down the list of the things that Jim Schlossnagel changed the moment he arrived here. He fires Rick Hill from being he was the PA announcer initially, right? But they, and as well as the board, but they don't let him run the board anymore. They hire somebody else to do it. He's constantly tried to get rid of the riflemen at the ball games every single season, incorporates the dancers, which did not go over well with a lot of old eggs. It's just, there's a lot of little things that he tried to plug constantly and got a lot of pushback for. And I wonder how much of that played into at least partial decision-making for him. I really don't know.
That kind of stuff I don't think really plays into, quite frankly. If it was a lack of control of what was actually going on the diamond and in the clubhouse, I think sure. you could see that. But if that's an issue, then I don't know why you're going to Texas, because you do not have control when you're at Texas.
No.
Texas has made that abundantly clear year after year after year. And that's one of the reasons why they're in the situation they're in.
Yeah. And like I said, you're going to hire the guy. Could he be the guy for you over there? Yes. But at the same time, I think if you look at it from, a player standpoint, if you look at it from, a recruiter standpoint, it's like, oh, this guy sure likes to, the moment things are not quite the direction he wants to go, he's going to try to make a move to go do what he wants to do and potentially leave you out in the cold as a player. I mean, I just don't know. I really don't know.
Relative to available seats and demand, so that ratio, the Texas baseball ticket may be harder to get than the Texas football ticket next year.
Because
mm-hmm. There's going to be 8,000 people that want to get in that stadium and yell directly in his face.
No question. For three days. 3 days you get this.
You get the whole weekend.
But so they announced, they said that the A&M game, the A&M Texas game will be at Olsen Field. That is going to be hell on earth for three straight days for him from the fans.
Oh, I'm thrilled about it.
Yeah.
I'm so thrilled about it. Like it lines up perfectly for us. So hopefully we don't provide an allotment, but about that big for Sips and just pack it in. Look, boo all you want to, Aggies.
Bingo.
Hissing doesn't cut it. Just try and keep the F-bombs to a bare minimum. But hey, let's get some people to go directly to the dugout and heckle. Not the way those two yahoos did in Omaha, but let's just get two people perched on the dugout just absolutely heckling him all game long.
I'm okay with it. I'll be way fine with it. In fact, you know what? You want to give me weekend tickets, assuming I'm off? I will happily sit right behind the dugout.
Spend 2 weeks doing research.
Send me all the information. I will sit here and just cook him like a freaking duck. Give me a chance.
I saw somebody say, if you haven't done it already, somebody needs to go get a big sign that says good and put it in his yard.
Oh, I know. It needs to happen now.
So
it needs to happen now.
This wasn't going to be a long one because we didn't want to rehash the World Series. It's, you know, it just sucks. It's been a tough, all of a sudden, a really tough, crappy 24 hours. Yeah, it's definitely getting kicked while you're down. So, but yeah. I thoroughly hope that he enjoys the shithole that is Austin. I hope he's absolutely miserable because I'm never going to wish anything good on Texas. I think I've been pretty clear about that from the get go when I was about five. So,
oh, yeah.
But yeah, so I'll be really interested in, like, you know how some dudes are like total recruiting wackos, and so they're plugged into Tech Sags 14 hours a day, even though they have full-time jobs when it's a recruiting cycle. I will be plugged into Tech Sags for this coaching search.
Yep.
I am really curious what direction we're going to go in and how quickly it's got to be quick too. That's the catch.
Yes, it does.
You've got to keep these players because our portal has opened.
Yep.
Portal's open because that piece of shit.
Well, and what makes it worse is, like, now we've come into the situation where, yeah, like, you waited till the very, very, very end of the season. You know, we got all the way to the very last opportunity to win a game in this season just to turn around and the very next day announce this. And yeah, now all of a sudden everything is going to hell. It's insane.
You literally got to play the last game of the college baseball season. And then when you were done with that, you acted like a petulant little child in a presser and then followed that up with a direct attack, like face to face, again, like a total child. So I thought he was, you know, baseball class. I really did. But if that's the child he is, he's going to love it in Austin.
Yes.
Absolutely going to love it.
Perfect fit in my mind. Right.
The only other perfect fit is Vitello. And I'll be straight up honest. This tiny, tiny shred in me wants Vitello to come here so we can beat Schloss in the World Series.
I could be okay with that. Like I said, I don't much care for the way, like, a lot of his players have acted.
Speaking
and all that
of stuff. Children, yes, Vitello's the worst, man.
He is a child.
But... Proven to build a program, right?
No doubt. I mean, it took him a little bit, but he got there. And, you know, I mean, once again, hats off to Tennessee for doing what they did. Absolutely.
What if we can get to, like, a Premier League kind of situation? Can we just get him on loan until he beats Schloss, and then we'll give him back to Tennessee?
Right, one weekend. Hey, come over here and give our boys a couple pointers on whipping this dude's ass real quick.
Yeah, we're just going to need you. Like, if your team's out of it, we're going to use you for Omaha and really just for the press conferences and another picture with the trophy.
Oh, yeah. You know, just the fun stuff. So if any of y'all want to kind of see my thoughts on everything, feel free to go over to the Aggie Uniform account. I just made a post. Enjoy it.
How'd you put that little meme you made?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I made a little hat. I made a little ha-ha hat. So go check it out when you get a chance. But, yeah, we're going to get this uploaded pretty quick. And, you know, love to hear y'all's thoughts in the comments and everything on the whole deal. We will be keeping up with the coaching search as we kind of continue to run out, I guess, the end of this season now, since we have plenty to talk about on that front.
Well, yeah, and hopefully by this time next week, we'll have some more information about the coaching search and we can kind of start. Hopefully we'll at least have a pool of people that we know kind of we're looking at.
Oh, Robert Barron's just retweeted it. So go check out his Twitter too.
Oh boy.
It's going to blow up. Oh no.
Yeah. I tell you what, he took it on the chin on Twitter over the weekend. And I was like, you guys just don't understand. Like, I'm telling you, I dislike Texas as often as I breathe. Okay. That's how it goes.
And I think
you saw the perfect example of this, of when the press release came out, when they fired Pierce, the fact that they've been talking to him since Georgia, which I guess isn't tampering.
Makes you wonder.
I don't know if you can.
It makes you wonder about some decisions in that championship series, though, doesn't it?
If he made any decisions based on the fact he was going to Texas, I truly do hope he rots in hell.
I'm completely hypothetical, not even going into
straight
it.
Straight tinfoil.
But let's tinfoil hat for just a quick minute. Top of the seventh inning, you have the opportunity to put in Evan Aschenbeck and shut this game down. You don't do it. You let our guy run until, unfortunately, he gives up enough runs, and then you make a change. In game two, when you potentially could have shut it down and won the championship, run it then and there. But that's just a theory. I don't know for sure, buddy.
It's certainly one theory.
It's a theory. I'm not going to sit here and tinfoil hat this, but all of a sudden, a lot of questions start getting asked, as they should be asked.
Yeah, well, I'll give my World Series MVP on the A&M side, obviously. I'm going to give it to Caden Cannon. I think the numbers were undeniable.
Between him and honestly, Ryan Prager, my God, dude, what a turnaround in the College World Series from your last time you were there. Couldn't be more proud.
My honorable mention would be Appel, just because I think he's the glue that holds this club together.
Yes.
I just felt awful when he missed that tag.
Yeah, that one.
And you know, nobody's beating him up more than he is.
No. And I wouldn't get after him for the tag.
Gosh,
Hayden,
no.
And Hayden shot too. I mean, good for machine. And
on one leg.
Yes, on one leg. And
honestly, yeah, you can go through the roster and just probably pick a handful of kids. Just,
yep.
You know, Grohovic leading off the game with a homer. Like, it just,
yep.
It was so much fun. Just such a disappointing ending, but only one team can win.
Only one team can win. So here we are on the backside of probably one of the worst 24-hour stretches in A&M athletics history in terms of how everything kind of fell apart. But yeah. At the same time, we are the Aggies. The Aggies are we. And I wouldn't trade being an Aggie to be anybody else anywhere.
I'm going to wake up in the morning. I'll still be an Aggie. The sun will come up. I mean, well, Lord willing. but that has nothing to do with Aggie baseball.
No.
but yeah. So we'd love to hear y'all. If y'all have anything y'all want us to address, I mean, we could probably string together maybe another one later this week that's short like this.
Sure.
See if we can't get our schedule to line up. But yeah, just a whole bunch of poopy. Poopy, poopy, poopy.
Very poopy. And here we are. But you know what? At the end of the day, we are those Aggies. And we've dealt with this before. We're just going to keep rocking and rolling, man, because that's what we do.
Yeah, I mean, next up on that, yeah, we're in the official dead period for sports, quite frankly. Nothing really kicks up for us until we at least get into the – gosh, Aggie soccer will be the first thing on deck, right?
Yeah, they'll be the first big thing. And throughout the rest of this summer, I know our schedules as far as work and everything I'm picking up quite a bit for band stuff on the weekends, which is awesome. I love the fact that we're working as much as we are.
Well, there'll be a forced break just because I'll be on vacation out of country.
Right. And yeah, Roy's going to be off and away, which is exciting. I'm looking forward to hearing about that trip. That's going to be a blast.
Yeah. Over the summer, we'll probably do them every couple of weeks. The summer is when it's literally all topics are fair game. So if you guys have something you'd love us to talk about, on the show, absolutely. Just drop it below or shoot us a DM and let us know about something you'd love us to talk about. Between now and next week, hopefully we'll have a little bit better grasp on the coaching search, and Rob and I will do some digging statistically and hopefully have all that stuff for you so we can really compare who we're going after, assuming we don't have a coach by this time next week.
Yeah, anything's possible within the next few days. You don't know.
Like they always say, every good AD has a list of names in his desk drawer.
Mm-hmm.
Every sport. So I'm going to freak if it's Vitello because
– I don't anticipate that being the case.
I don't. I'm just saying, like, I would completely freak out. Not in a good way. Just be like, God.
Why? Yes, he won a championship, but why?
Yeah, how bad do we want to win, man?
Apparently pretty good.
Yes. See, that's the thing. But there's not that many big name coaches out there. So if Kendall Rogers is to be believed, which, I mean, he said there was no way Schloss was going to Texas, but again, Kendall is generally pretty accurate. So they kept this one under wraps pretty well because it seemed like everybody was kind of in the dark on it. But hopefully we get some names floating around and we land a big fish. Maybe by this time next week, we're talking about it.
Yep, hopefully so. Well, hope everybody has a better rest of your week. Find the good positives to get into, family wise or otherwise. Or if you happen to be an Astros fan and you're appreciating this little turnaround we've been seeing, that's nice. But
rest, rehydrate. July 4th is right around the corner, so it's time to put your body through a little recuperation after the weekend of baseball.
And if you happen to be in the Houston area or the Austin area, we will be down in Texas City Friday night playing down there. And we will be playing over at Copeland Dance Hall right outside of Taylor coming up this weekend, and those should both be a lot of fun. Oh, by the way, had a blast this past weekend. Have so many stories. Holy cow. It was one of the craziest like show weekends we've had in a long time. But Amarillo was awesome. Kane's Ballroom, back-to-back sold-out nights. Corey Kent was recording a live record. It was insane. But it was an absolute blast. And, you know, I found a lot of joy in that, which counteracts a lot of what we're having to deal with today, which is, I guess,
We were talking about this actually this morning on our little We Are Team huddles, and you know, it's just that's something that's certain, you know, 5-10 years back I really try to start work on is just, you know, not letting a sports team at any level kind of dictate my attitude and mood. And it sucked, but like I had a great weekend with friends, you know. The early game on Sunday gave us the evening, you know, to hang out and do whatever. And it just, it's a baseball game, man. There's a lot more important things in life than worrying about if a bunch of 18 to 20 year olds are going to win a title. And I get that it's important. And look, I want to win a national championship at A&M, but I didn't let it ruin my day. So, yeah, I had a really great weekend and looking forward to kind of almost back-to-back holidays for me, because coming out of July 4th and I'm only about 10 days from there from heading to Scotland. So it's got a real busy next couple of weeks with work, trying to get everything knocked out before I go, because I would really like to not take my laptop to Scotland.
Yeah, that's fair. All
possible. But I'm looking at, you know what, just embrace the chaos, man. Looking forward to the coaching search. We shall see.
Embrace the chaos, but above all, embrace the hate next year when we see him again.
Yes.
Embrace the hate.
Or you'll learn. Let the hate flow through you. I'm telling you.
It's okay. We're allowed to be a little Sithy. We're not all Jedis here.
Yes.
Let the hate flow, baby. All right. Well, I am Rob White. This is Roy May. We are the Red Ass Podcast. Thank you so much for listening, guys. And we really do appreciate you. Beat the ever-living hell out of Schlossnagel and the offseason. Take care. Giggle.